Chapter 8, The Language of Kabbalah. Because our vocabulary is limited by our perception of the world, which is connected to the concepts of time, space, and motion, we have no words to express or convey spiritual concepts. We've developed our whole vocabulary from being in this world, and thus, if we want to use mundane words to name spiritual phenomena, such words are inadequate. It's difficult to find words that explain the experience of spirituality to someone who's never felt it. Although we may want to describe a spiritual object, we have only corporal words to name it. If even a single concept does not find precise correspondence in words, the correct meaning of the entire science will be ruined. Thus, the problem of relating to the spiritual world without the appropriate words or language to describe it remain unsolved. Every object and action in our world originates from a corresponding one in the spiritual world. Therefore, Kabbalists have found a reliable way to convey information and knowledge to one another. They use the names of objects and actions or branches in our material world to describe the corresponding objects and actions, or the roots, in the spiritual world. This language was developed by people who attained the spiritual worlds while still living in our world and accurately knew these correspondences. Hence, Kabbalists aptly named it the language of branches. From this, we can understand the odd names that we find in Kabbalistic books, the descriptions of actions that we perceive as odd stories or children's fairy tales. Nevertheless, this language is very accurate because there is a precise and unique correspondence between each root and its branch. It's no wonder that there's such a correspondence, as the creators of the language of the branches simultaneously existed in both the spiritual and the physical worlds. This is why it's impossible to replace even a single word. And however absurd it may seem, the branch should exactly correspond to the root. What separates spiritual objects is not space, but their spiritual incongruence and dissimilarity of properties. Therefore, the number of souls, meaning separate spiritual objects, determines the number of people in the physical world. In the beginning of creation, there was one common soul, the light, or the pleasure, and the corresponding body, or desire, Adam. These were merged in adhesion with the Creator and therefore receive maximum light. The soul's nature is merely the will to receive pleasure, and the soul was filled with pleasure in accordance with its desire. However, once having received pleasure, the soul sensed shame. In our world, everyone who receives a gift or a favor feels the same way. The extent of the sense of shame depends on the person's spiritual development. Only this feeling keeps us constantly within limits and compels us to observe the laws of society. The same sensation underlies our aspirations for knowledge, wealth, recognition by society, and honor. Once it had felt a burning shame corresponding to the receiving of pleasure, the soul discovered that the only way to be rid of it was to stop enjoying the pleasure. However, since the Creator's desire was to delight the soul agreed to accept this delight, not for its own sake, but only for the sake of the Creator. Just as in our world, the more pleasure the child receives from food, such as eating for mommy, the more delight it gives the parent. In this situation, the soul should constantly control the amount of pleasure it takes in order to enjoy only for the Creator's sake. However, since the common soul could not instantly overcome its natural desire to enjoy for its own sake, that's how great it was shattered into myriad fragments, or souls. These fragments were easier to work on to neutralize the selfish will to enjoy. Since no distance exists in the spiritual world, and the proximity is determined by the similarity of actions and thoughts, or affinity and love, souls that receive for the Creator's sake are close to Him because they please each other just like a mother and her child. Closeness is determined by how much pleasure the soul receives for the sake of the Creator. The will to receive instinctively acts within us, but our desire to rid ourselves of shame and to enjoy for the Creator's sake originates within us. Therefore, the desire to rid the self of shame and to enjoy for the Creator's sake requires special and continuous effort. the soul that receives for its own sake is opposite from the giver in its intention and spiritual action. The greater the pleasure it selfishly receives, the greater its opposition to the Creator. Since the difference in desires leads one away from the Creator, different worlds were formed at different levels of remoteness down to our world. Here, every part of the common soul is given a certain period of time or a lifespan and repeated opportunities, life cycles, for correction. A person is born only with the will to receive pleasure for itself. All our personal desires originate from the system of impure forces. In other words, we are infinitely remote from the Creator, we can't feel Him, and therefore are considered spiritually dead. However, if while struggling with oneself, a person acquires a will to live, think, and act only for the sake of others and the Creator, such a soul's purification allows one to gradually approach the Creator until completely merging with Him, and as one comes closer to the Creator, one feels increasing delight. It is for this soul transformation that our world and the spiritual worlds, the steps on the path to the Creator, were created. Merging with the Creator is a task that everyone must accomplish while still living in this world. Our world is the most opposite point from the Creator, opposite from His properties. By ridding ourselves of the selfish desire to enjoy, we approach Him, and thus gain doubly. We enjoy receiving pleasure from Him, and at the same time enjoy pleasing Him. In the same way, when I eat my mother's food, I enjoy the meal, and I'm glad that it pleases her. It should be noted that while egoistic pleasure is short-lived and limited by the size of the desire, we can't eat two dinners. One can endlessly give, share, or receive for the sake of another. Accordingly, the pleasure that one receives is infinite. Every world, with all that populates it, including our world, unites in the Creator's single plan to bestow infinite delight upon the soul. This single thought, this goal, encompasses the entire creation from beginning to end. All the suffering that we feel, our work on ourselves and the reward are determined only by this thought. Meanwhile, as people who work on themselves ascend spiritually, their eyes begin to open and other worlds become visible. Thus, while still living in this world, they attain all the worlds. For them, the seemingly absurd language of Kabbalah becomes the language of actions, thoughts, and sensations. The concepts that are opposite in our world then unite in this single supernal root.